Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. It's a good number. I'm just going to do a reading to help us understand where we are, what we're looking at. And the reading that I'm going to read is from 2 Corinthians 10. I think I got the wrong chapter there. That's a good start, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 10. Let's get the number right. 1 Corinthians 10. And I'm going to read the first seven verses. 1153 in the Church Bible. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. And that's verse 6 is our key verse this morning. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Well, last week, Phil helped us by looking through the first 10 chapters of Numbers. And he also gave us a huge overview of the whole book. And I'm not going to go over that this morning. That's on the sheets that you have, an outline of last week. So what I'm going to do this morning is just give you a brief summary to the point we're at the beginning of chapter 10 of Numbers, and that's on page 142 of the Church Bibles. We've been following now for a number of weeks the Israelites. We've seen their leader Moses bring the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea and settle at Mount Sinai. Last week we learned that while the Israelites stayed at the base of Mount Sinai, God used this time to prepare them. It was a time of preparation, ready to be called into the promised land. I'm going to begin looking at chapter 10, verse 11, and I've entitled it, God's Goodness and Order Are in View. The first two verses here prepare us for what we're about to read in the rest of the chapters. I'm just going to read those to you. In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, the cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of testimony. And the people of Israel sat out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. This gives us a time frame, which is around about 14 months after the Israelites left Egypt. It tells us the Israelites followed God as the cloud moved from over the tabernacle to a resting place where they would settle. And the place we learn is called Paran. Over the next few verses and through to chapter 11 are a snapshot of what happened along their way to Paran. ultimately, with this in mind, they are making their way to the promised land. Verses 13 to 28 give us the details of the meticulous organization necessary for the Israelites. I don't know about you, sometimes I find it hard to organize my own family, to get up in the morning for school. Those of you with children will know it's a busy time, sometimes not doing what they should be doing, and getting them out the door. But imagine trying to get over 2 million people organized to move. This sort of puts it into perspective for us. It needed a high level of order to enable such a large number to move effectively. And again here we have what is recorded in chapter 2 of Exodus. The order that the Israelites were to move. And we see throughout this passage God's goodness was seen in providing an experienced guide for the wilderness. And this man was called Hobab. And you can find him in verse 29. Moses saw Hobab's gifts and asked him to come with them on the journey. Now, Hobab wasn't part of the Israelites. He was possibly a sojourner, someone who had come with them. So Moses saw the gifts of this man, Hobab. And as he saw the gifts, he asked Hobab if he would join them on his journey. And in doing so, he promised what God had promised them. And God had promised to his people that he would do good to them. Hobab was going to share in the goodness if he agreed to help. God's goodness was also seen by his presence with them. The cloud over them and the Ark of the Covenant going before them. They knew the Ark of the Covenant moved. They knew as it moved, it was God saying, it's time to go. It's time to move on. And as he did that, Moses prayed as the Ark left, which was based on the psalm that Mike read out this morning, Psalm 68. A psalm based on Moses praying out for the movement of the Israelites. He prayed out every time they set out and they stopped, a prayer of thanksgiving to God. So at this point, we think everything is rosy. Everything is going well for the Israelites. They're following God and they're praising him. They're in a good relationship. But let's have a look at chapter 11. This is entitled Israel's Complaint in View. We read in the previous chapter, it had only been 3 days since they set out. And then the Israelites start to complain. Only 3 days. Firstly, in the first 3 verses, the Israelites started to grumble about their misfortune, their everyday hardships of life. And then secondly, they grumbled about what they did not have, attractive and appetizing food, meat. In both cases of grumbling, God's anger was kindled against them. And punishment and warnings are given. Several of the Israelites die after God's judgment over them. But God still shows patience with them and shows great mercy. He decides to take a few, but he doesn't take them all. He could have destroyed all of them, but he showed mercy to them. And as the story unfolds in chapter 11, we see how the complaints of the children of Israel wear down Moses, the leader himself. The pressure and burden of leading the people gets to him, to a point he can't bear it on his own any longer. God listens to Moses and gives him 70 men from the camp, who God then makes elders to share the load. God gives aid by the use of elders amongst the people. So what is the main focus and problem of the people? Why is God so angry with them? Verse 4. Now the rabble that was amongst them had a strong craving. A strong craving. Now the rabble mentioned here was probably Egyptians who married into the Israelites, or even God-fearing Egyptians who went with them when fleeing Egypt. Whoever they were, they had strong cravings. Craving means great or eager desire, something that is yearned for. The heart of the problem of the Israelites was their hearts desired something God had not provided: meat. They had no meat to eat. This really upset the Israelites so much that they wept. They wept and cried, and they started to make a list of food they had before leaving Egypt. They started to question why they'd come out of Egypt. They'd started what we'd warned about in the verses that I read this morning in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. These things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. So what do these verses speak to us about today? Well, I think the first thing for us to notice is that desiring evil leads us to disobedience. The preparation and obedience seen in chapter 10 showed that the Israelites trusted and desired God. Their actions show they wanted to go where God was leading them. They had a structured camp. They had the people to look after the tabernacle. It's taking down, it's raising up. They had people to look after the Ark of the Covenant, and how they moved in stages. It was all organized. The nation were highly organized. The Israelites were trained, prepared, and ready for when God finally said, "It's time to move. Time to leave for the promised land." They knew what to do, as God had told their leader Moses, and Moses then told the people God's message. God's words were shaping God's people for all the trials and blessings that were going to come ahead on their journey. The Israelites knew what to expect. God had given them people like Hobab, who had the gifts to help them with the situations they knew nothing about. God was preparing them for the journey to the promised land of blessing, their blessed future. All they had to do was to obey all that the Lord had commanded them. But it all went wrong for the Israelites when they stopped obeying and listening to God. They started to listen to the influences of this rabble. They stopped listening and trusting the words that they'd been given to them by God through Moses. Do you see that it's God's word that prepares us for our future as a church family? We, as part of God's church, are just like the Israelites. God's church is prepared and equipped for the life journey we take by the leaders of our church telling us God's message, God's words from the Bible. Do we follow what we are told and obey it meticulously? That's my word of the day. I'll let that one. Do you think what you hear from the preacher is good for you? Do you think its purpose is to encourage and equip you for your life journey? But not alone, but as a church together. If you want to be an astronaut, I don't know, when I was a child I thought an astronaut was a good thing to try and look at. They have to go through 20 months of training. That's an awful lot. Part of the training is to learn how to fly what they call a T-34. It's a high-performance training aeroplane. First, they learn what to do if the jet has problems. They learn how to use a parachute. They learn how to use an ejection seat. They have to practice getting out of a plane that's sinking underwater. They have to learn survival skills. What would you think would happen to that astronaut if they didn't listen to the training and use it as it was intended? It could lead to all sorts of problems. God gives us His word for our good. His word gives us the training required to equip us to survive on our journey together to reach heaven. There will be trials and times of joy together, times of suffering, times of plenty, and times of famine. That's why as a church we've been going through God's big picture. This is to help us understand God's plan for all time and how we fit into that plan. So we know where we're going and how we're going to get there. We've been doing discipleship classes in the evenings to help us understand the purpose of being a Christian. This is to equip us while we're here, so we know as believers what to do when circumstances change for us or others. But obeying God's word is how we show that we love God. We listen and obey the voice of Jesus because we love Him. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." If we don't do what Jesus asks of us, then we show that we don't really love Him. Secondly, desiring evil leads us to being dissatisfied. The children of Israel, they seem content with what God has given them in chapter 10. They've been surviving for months on the manna, the food provided by them, by God, from heaven. As the Israelites dwelt on having meat in chapter 11, they started to think about the food that they had back when they were in slavery in Egypt. This led them to say, "Why did we come out of Egypt?" For us, it's like saying, "Jesus, why did you save me? I was better off in my sin. I was happier doing things my way. It was much simpler then." We start seeing God as one who puts rules upon us to spoil our lives. Our view of God changes. We think He's holding back blessings from us. This is sounding like the root of the problem that we had in the Garden of Eden. The desire to have what Adam and Eve thought God was not giving them. God's word here is here to shape our minds, our lives. His intentions are always for our good and benefit. Nothing does he withhold from us. God did not spare his own son, Jesus, from us. He gave him to be our sacrifice for sin. God has saved us. Do you really think you're better back off in your sin? As a church, are we content how God treats us? Or do we find ourselves being dissatisfied? Thirdly, desiring evil leads us to forget his blessings. It is sure as the Ark of the Covenant moved and Moses rallied the people together for the first time that they remembered the goodness of God. They praised him as their protector, and in their mind they were now leaving to go to the Promised Land. This was a momentous occasion for the people, but it did not take long until they started to complain and moan. The Israelites started to give in to their immediate cravings and desires. This leads them to forget where they had come from and where they were going. There are many Christians like this today who lose their direction, their purpose. They get lost on what is happening here and now and not looking at the blessings of the past and the promises of the future. Are we in danger of doing that? If we are, then we won't enjoy rest. We won't delight in him and enjoy the blessings his word promises. The Israelites were given eventually the desires of their hearts. God decided after hearing them cry to give them what they most desired. He let them have what they wanted. What a great result. Maybe that's what they were thinking. What a result. God's given us exactly what we've asked for. God gave it to them, but the meat that was going to be eaten was going to start to come out of their nostrils. That's a horrible thought, isn't it? It's an expression, I think, of eating too much. They were going to be given so much meat to eat, they're going to be physically ill. They were going to have to eat until they could eat no more. And what we find later in the chapter is what eventually happened is that while they were eating the meat that God had provided for them, what they had craved the most, that some were struck down with a plague. They were judged because of their evil desires and so missed out on the blessings that God had in store for them. Be careful what you desire. God actually might give it to you. Over the past few years, several winners of big prizes in the UK's National Lottery, some of them have confessed that their winnings have brought them considerable unhappiness, loss of friends, serious breaches in relationships, and the gradual disappearance of a sense of purpose in life. If we go on a quest for material things or desiring the evil things, it's like thirsting for a drink that far from quenching the thirst, only intensifies the desire for more. This is a dangerous path to start desiring what the Bible calls evil. It leads to having idols and ultimately takes us away from God. What idols do you have in your life? Is it food, like the Israelites here? Money? Family? Maybe collecting things? The list is endless. God, in His great mercy, has given us these warnings so that we might not make the same mistakes previous generations have made. God wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him, to enjoy coming to church, and hear how we are to obey Him, to enjoy looking to God's future promised of Jesus coming once again to take us to our promised land, heaven. Let us delight in the Lord, that we may desire God, so that in desiring God, it would lead us to be obedient. In desiring God, it would lead us to be content. And in desiring God, it leads us to enjoy His blessings. I'm just going to finish with that verse at the beginning that we had on the front of our sheet, which I don't have here. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. What do you desire most in your life? Thank you, Mike.